You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely wildly to listen to Jake Tapper admit conservative media got the whole Biden story right.
Mm-hmm.
This is in a interview with Megyn Kelly.
Leading up to the debate, which you anchored, that June 27th debate, 2024, there was a ton of news leading into that debate in that month. And we look back at your coverage and found that you ignored it. Not only did you ignore the Jackie Walorski moment when you had him 13 days later, but you ignored the freeze up that he had at the Juneteenth celebration. You ignored what happened at the G7 when he wandered off and Giorgia Meloni, prime minister of Italy, had to go find him. You ignored the freeze up at the George Clooney LA fundraiser. You didn't cover it. You only covered it after the debate, after George Clooney wrote his op-ed. Jake, nobody made you do that. There was your network at every turn was telling us those were, quote, cheap fakes. And you were not combating that narrative. You were, CNN was actively misleading us on what our very eyes were showing us. Yep. That's the truth. That's the record.
But yeah, I remember that moment. And I remember that moment, the glitch at the immigration event, and not getting much attention outside of conservative media at all. And Alex and I are here to say that conservative media was right and conservative media was correct. And that there should be a lot of soul searching, not just among me, but among the legacy media to begin with, all of us, for how this was covered or not covered sufficiently. 100%. So, I mean, I'm not here to defend coverage that I've already acknowledged. I wish I could do differently.
Lee, this is yet another example of the cycle of abuse. You know, abusive relationships have cycles.
Yes.
This is a cycle of abuse.
Not that I would know anything about that.
No. I know. I'm sure you're a wonderful husband. But no, cycle of abuse by the mainstream media, the legacy media, whatever you want to call them, toward the conservative media. We get it right while they mock us and call us conspiracy theorists, only to admit later when they've covered for whatever Democrat they're helping with their lies that we were right. They always admit it. And it's the strangest part of this to me. When they've won utterly in the past, just leave it in the history books is a big lie. No, I swear it's Cloward and Piven. I don't know what it is. They take a victory lap and they admit, well, you know, hey, maybe Trump didn't have any connections to Russia after all. Weird, right? But only after Trump's already lost the election. Damage is done. That's what they're doing now. This is part of that cycle. Jake Tapper's making a buck off of it. But most importantly, what they're doing is covering for the shadow government, whoever operated the auto pen, the auto signature. We still really don't know who that was. We have some vague ideas, Obama, you know, that circle, but we
Susan
don't.
Wright, Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah, we don't know.
That cadre of communists.
Yes, but that's who they're still covering for with distractions. They're still covering that up. Meanwhile, I mean, today's video cast, I called it Who Killed Joe Biden? Because there's some questions here, boy. I got to tell you, when Trump and CNN are asking the same question and not buying the line at all from the Biden spokesperson that he just woke up one day, had some trouble urinating, and discovered he had stage 4 cancer, no.
And it takes a long time to get to that, you know, to get to a stage 9. I think that if you take a look, it's the same doctor that said that Joe was cognitively fine. There was nothing wrong with him. And that's being proven to be a sad situation. You know, the auto pen is becoming a big deal because it seems like that maybe was the president who ever operated the auto pen. In other words, there are things going on that the public wasn't informed. And I think somebody's going to have to speak to his doctor, if it's the same or even if it's two separate doctors. Why wasn't the cognitive ability, why wasn't that discussed? And I think the doctor said he's just fine. And
so many questions here. Mm-hmm. As I open the show with this, okay, we're told he has not had a PSA test since 2014. Okay, has he had a blood test? Because even Ezekiel Emanuel, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, the architect of Obamacare, hardcore Democrat, he's on there. He said on MSNBC, look, he's had it at least since 2021. Blood test would have shown at a minimum something was whack with his white blood cells, and they would have investigated further. You going to tell me he didn't have a blood, forget PSA test, he didn't have a blood test either? What did they do in these exams that he had?
Did they even take his blood pressure or his temperature? I mean, you know. Seriously.
And that you, the idea you could get this far with cancer and have no pain and not notice, yeah. Don't buy it. Yeah. Somebody is still lying to us about Joe Biden somewhere for some reason. And look, it's not just Donald Trump. Even CNN was shocked that the last PSA that Biden had was in 2014. And what they're doing here, and this is a really smart sleight of hand, actually, is saying, you know, look, the advice is that you start having these at 50 and then you stop having them at either 69 or 70. Well, yes, that's the advice of the American Urological Association and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. They cut it off at either 69 or 70, right? But that is not the advice of the American Cancer Society, which calls for testing if you're over 50 and they don't put an upper limit on it. Keep testing. So you think that the president's not getting that deal where they keep testing?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't believe it. Yeah. And then this bizarre New York Post article where they're interviewing Biden aides who are saying that they're worried that Biden might be dying early because people were afraid to do the test because it might leak out. Frankly, residents staff talk, it would have gotten out, said a former White House staffer, if he'd had the PSA test and the cancer was discovered. I just know the doc could not have lived with himself if he knew this was happening. He didn't do everything he could. But he's saying at the same time, maybe he wasn't tested. They were afraid it would get out. Well, if you're afraid it would get out, then you know he has cancer. None of this makes any sense. Yeah. None of it. Here's another aide that the New York Post interviewed. I do believe they felt like something was going on and were worried about it and kind of hedged around it for a bit. This is a person, allegedly White House staffer, who worked in close proximity to Biden. I just don't know how they kind of find this out on a Friday and it's this far advanced and serious. If it's in the bones, there's got to be discomfort. I think they just didn't test. So basically what they're telling the Post is, they didn't test. They were afraid it would leak, so they just didn't do it. Well, okay, maybe. But I mean, this is, again, as you and I were saying last hour, this is a very treatable cancer. How did it get this far?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and
you could make claims of incompetence then or malpractice if this were actually the case. But it's just, you know.
But then
none of this makes sense.
No, it does. And then add this line. There's a lot of people online with all kinds of conspiracy theories. One of them is, they wanted Biden to die so that Kamala could take over and get her presidency started, get herself established. I don't believe that. Let me tell you why. No way in hell is Hunter Biden letting his meal ticket go. No way is Jill letting her meal ticket go. Not happening. Family would have never stood by for that. There's no way. So that doesn't make any sense. And Joe Biden himself, remember, in 2022, said he had cancer. Mm-hmm.
And because it was a four-lane highway, my mother drove us, and rather than us be able to walk. And guess what? The first frost, you know what was happening. You had to put on your windshield wipers to get literally the oil slick off the window. That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up have cancer. And why can't for the longest time, Delaware had the highest cancer rate in the nation.
Look, Joe Biden had some really, you know, clearly dementia moments. We have them and I've got, you know, video, audio, I've got all of it, right? We all do. But he had a lot more clear moments. If he knew he had cancer, why didn't he treat it? So many questions here. Or maybe, I mean, it's Joe. He says crazy things. He lies. He's a compulsive liar. Maybe he just said he had cancer and he got lucky and he got it right. He guessed it, Lee. This is the darndest thing. Yeah. Nobody understands it.
Well, that kind of goes along with the entire Biden administration.
Yeah. So even CNN saying, okay, no PSA test. How is this missed in medical exams? You have the best healthcare on earth. You have more than one doctor and they missed it. The fact that you even just have cancer, period, that something is wrong. Something's missing here. But I know this. They're still lying to us. To new manipulation, to new lie, and the lie is the cover for whoever was operating the auto pen, whoever the shadow government is.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, have another booster while you still get COVID anyway. Yep. An entire generations of Americans had that experience. They will not anymore. The FDA no longer recommending COVID vaccine boosters for healthy Americans under the age of 65. This is actually really, really clever what is going on right here. This is obviously the FDA, Food and Drug Administration. It's underneath Health and Human Services. In other words, it's under RFK, right? So what does this mean? Well, people who never needed COVID shots will not have a recommendation to get them. This protects an entire generation of kids from getting the COVID shot. Thank God for that. Let me tell you why. It's very clever what RFK has done here, along with Dr. Marty Markery and Dr. Vinay Prasad. They're simply saying to the shot makers, game's up. The COVID shot is the only one. You don't have to present a trial to the FDA, trial data. So they just haven't. Trial data covers two things. Efficacy, which means, does it even work? The answer is no. And number two, is it safe? Because of the emergency use authorization. So what happened is RFK just ended that and said, okay, we'll approve COVID shots. But you're going to need to show us trial data, safety and efficacy. Here's the bottom line, folks. They can't. They can't show that because it's not safe. We are saying, folks, I've long since stopped. These studies are collecting on my desk. I mean, just crosses the blood-brain barrier, modifies your DNA, causes cancer, causes turbo cancer, causes recurrence of cancer, affects miscarriages, increases the miscarriage rate, interferes with women's periods, on and on. I've got a whole folder. I mean, it's huge. I just stopped talking about it. Most of these studies are done in other countries, and they're ignored by the American media as they tell you put the booster in your arm. Not anymore. So basically what they're saying is, you want us to keep approving this shot? Stop making us sue you to get the fatality data. Stop making us sue you to get the physical harm data. You are going to present it like every other shot maker does. And, you know, if it's got some efficacy, i.e. if it works to stop COVID, if it produces antibodies and it's safe, we'll approve it. So hand us the data. Here's the unspoken part. They can't. They can't do that. They know it. So this is going to end the COVID shot. And they have the fig leaf here of saying, well, okay, if you can demonstrate the COVID shot, we'll generate antibodies in people 65 and over, and those who are very ill, we'll let you give it to people who are dying anyway. I don't say you're dying if you're 65 or older, but you're elderly, who are crazy enough to take the thing. For what reason, we don't know. I mean, folks, when they last left us, they were telling us the lie that it was, remember, 96% effective. And then it leaked out of the CDC that internally they were actually discussing it. And not only was it not effective, you were more likely to get COVID if you took it, which I think was the goal. And that's where they left us. And people who don't get real news just went right on taking the boosters. Not a lot, thank God. But the great news is that babies born next month and the month after and the one after that and the one after that, they're not going to get this shot. It's not approved for them. And it's only a matter of time before the whole plug gets pulled. Because I'm telling you, they cannot demonstrate the safety or efficacy of this shot. That is the last thing they want to do. It's going to end it. You know what needs to happen with this next? Any kind of mRNA vaccine needs the same standards. Do you realize the lawsuits, and by the way, RFK was part of these lawsuits, are still ongoing with the COVID vaccine to try to get the basic fatality data? It's crazy. Anyway, and they're right about this. You probably hear some Democrats screaming about it because it was like the closest thing that their party will ever have to a sacrament since they don't go to church. But the thing that they're saying is like, look, this is what other industrialized countries are doing. They don't recommend this for babies like we do. You're supposed to get your first vaccine when you're 6 months old. Dear God. Folks, think about this. No safety data. No clinical trials. What safety data there is kept under wraps for the most part. And making their case for the new policy. So this is going to end the COVID vaccine. It's just going to be slow. You know, it's going to be fascinating to watch. What does Pfizer do? What do they do? What do these vaccine makers do? Do they just pull the plug on the whole thing rather than turn over the trial data? Or do they turn it over? Make it public for the first time. You can't hide the trial data, although they've tried. And folks, understand something with this shot. This is the big scandal of this, and this will really be the big scandal going forward. I won a reporting award for my work on the flu vaccine. I got actually Associated Press reporting award for it, a nationwide award for it, and I learned a lot about shot trials. The shortest those ever go, we do them in other countries, and we kill a lot of people when we do it. We maim and kill them as we get the shots right. It's very unfortunate. We do it in India. We do it in Africa and other poor nations where people don't really have recourse. We don't test them on our children. And so I wrote a whole series about, like, you know, the morality of that. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it, you know, whatever. The shot trials, bare minimum, 7 years. That's how long you need to find out, you know, for women to take it, get pregnant, find out if it affects the baby, find out what's wrong and fix it. Many of these shot trials go for 15. What was the shot trial in America with the COVID vaccine? You were the trial. Except they hid the injuries and the fatalities. We still don't have all the numbers on it. It's incredible. So this is the end of it. Unless they can make it safe and make it work. I'm betting against that. So is RFK. So is the FDA. So we have honest people running those institutions now. Thank God for that. Generation of kids won't get that shot in their arm. Or another, or another, or another, or another. Countless lives will be saved. And this is going to be one of the biggest scandals of the century when we get all the data, and we will. We'll get it eventually. Nancy Mace tweet yesterday, potential gubernatorial candidate and Republican congresswoman from out on the coast, won the most expensive primary in 2024 in state history as Republican leadership tried to take her out to punish her for taking out Kevin McCarthy. She won. Yesterday tweets, she's going to present a naked photo of herself on the floor of Congress. So that got my attention. Shares a nude photo of herself during the House hearing. She says was taken without her consent. Now, it didn't show. I mean, she's clearly nude in it, but it didn't show much. She described it as a naked silhouette of herself that she said was taken without her consent. And she doubled down on allegations of sexual abuse against multiple men, including her ex-fiancé. He strongly denies that anything of the sort ever happened. So she doubled down on this yesterday. It's a super weird situation. SLED has been investigating this, whether the man or men involved deliberately might have had photographs they shouldn't have had. This investigation has been going on since December of 2023, so that's a long time. SLED once again said, hey, listen, at the end of this, we will turn over what we've collected to a prosecutor. Prosecutor can make a decision whether they want to do charges or not. So this is under investigation. What that means, I have no idea. Again, everyone involved strongly denies anything of the sort. The former fiance called the accusations made during the hearing false and outrageous. She accused him and others of the worst thing that you can do to a woman outside of killing her. He says he's never hidden cameras. He's never harmed any woman. And the accusations are just false. They're malicious and deeply personal. He says, I've never raped anyone, he says. Nancy Mace made these claims only while standing in Congress because she's shielded by legal immunity. In other words, he can't sue her for libel for whatever she says as a member of Congress on the floor. If she believed them to be true and there was evidence to support her accusations, she would say them outside the chamber and away from her public role and protections and pursue them through proper legal channels. She has not done so because she cannot. It's a very strange situation. She says she's doing this to advocate for legislation. It's a voyeurism legislation that she has sponsored. She said she was not aware that she was being filmed and photographed and put one of those photos up on the floor of Congress. So, folks, I got to tell you what, representatives from South Carolina are nothing if not colorful. Okay, speaking of colorful, Jake Tapper, in retrospect, probably never would have booked himself. CNN anchor Jake Tapper, an inveterate liar. Probably never would have booked, which is not a good thing if you're a journalist. Probably never would have booked himself with Megyn Kelly if he could have seen how it would turn out. Here's Megyn Kelly confronting Jake Tapper on his, I don't know how else to describe it besides brutalization of Laura Trump for saying, look, Biden's got this weird stutter. He does because he has dementia.
Well, I mean, we'll start with the Laura Trump issue that you referred. Here it is. This happened in 2020.
Joe Biden, as we all know, has worked to overcome a stutter. How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
First and foremost, I had no idea that Joe Biden ever suffered from a stutter. I think what we see on stage with Joe Biden, Jake, is very clearly a cognitive decline. Okay. That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
You are so amazing.
You're trying to tell me that what I was suggesting was a stuttering.
I think that you were mocking his stutter. I think you were mocking his stutter, and I think you have absolutely no standing to diagnose somebody's cognitive decline.
And it's very concerning to a lot of people that this could be the leader of the free world.
Okay.
That is all I'm saying. I genuinely feel sorry for Joe Biden.
I appreciate it. I'm sure it was from a place of concern. We all believe that. Laura Trump, thank you so much.
Do you want to apologize to Laura Trump now?
I've already apologized to her. I called her months ago.
And what did she say?
I mean, I don't want to disclose the contents of a private conversation, but I thought the conversation went well. And she has said this publicly, so I feel fine sharing it. She said that she would never mock anybody's stutter. But I mean, after we did the research for this book and I realized how bad his acuity issues were, I called Laura Trump and I said, you were right.
She was totally right. That's the thing, because when I watched that clip, and I'm giving voice to what a lot of people watching the show are feeling, Jake, I feel angry because she was right. And not only did you not allow her to make her comments, but you seemed to try to humiliate her. You had a hostility toward the position, but she was totally right. And then you lectured her on how she was in no position to diagnose cognitive decline, which you guys do at length, including on page 4 of your book. You describe at length his cognitive decline, which is all she tried to do with you. But you had such a visceral reaction to her. And my feeling is that's because you didn't want to hear it.
No, I'm happy to talk about this. I didn't come here thinking that you weren't going to ask me about this. So I'm happy to talk to you about it.
No, I know.
The first time I saw the coverage of Laura Trump's comments, which were interpreted as her mocking Joe Biden's stutter, was in January 2020. I read it in conservative media. I read it in the Daily Mail. And that's where I saw that her comments were being interpreted that way. After those comments were publicized, it got a lot of coverage. And Sully Sullenberger wrote an op-ed in the New York Times criticizing her about this. So that's the context for that, that I was following up on a story that had been out there months before. This is also in the context of October 2020, a very intense time. People on the Biden side are saying crazy things about Trump. People on the Trump side are saying crazy things about Biden, including Don Jr. suggesting that Joe Biden is a pedophile. So that is the larger context.
That was his daughter, but okay.
Her comments have aged well. My comments have aged poorly. I own that. But I think what is significant is, in addition to me owning that, the reporting that Alex and I have done, which is beyond just, and when I say just, I don't mean to diminish it, but the comments of Joe Biden making gaffes, saying things stupid, tripping, are all important and all deserved to be aired and all deserve scrutiny. But as you know, Megan, because even though you look 30 years younger than me, we're roughly the same age, Joe Biden has been saying stupid things for decades. Okay.
Okay. Here's why I didn't get a pass on this. This is yet another example of the cycle of abuse by the mainstream media toward conservative media. We get it right while they mock us. We get it right when it's important. And they call us conspiracy theorists. That's always the tell that what we're saying is correct. Only for the mainstream media to admit later, when they successfully covered for whatever Democrat they're helping with their lies, that we were right. The admission never, ever comes when it's needed. It's only after the fact, when the lie has lived out its usefulness. That's what he's doing here. And this is a new set of lies, folks. A new set, you know what? To distract from the question, the one that really matters. Who is the shadow government? Who was operating the auto pen? Were they making the decisions, or were they answering to who was? Who was that? If I was a Speaker of the House, I'd have a committee start subpoenaing these people. I'd go all the way through it under oath. Did you operate the auto pen? No, cool. Who did? Who'd they answer to? Who made the decisions? You know what we're learning this morning? It just gets more shocking. You know the cabinet meetings? Fake. They faked the cabinet meetings. They did multiple takes over and over and over so it would look like they were doing a cabinet meeting. So you have your Treasury Secretary, your Defense Secretary sitting there play acting, saying the same lines again and again to prop up Joe Biden. Texter writes, hey, Terry, are you going to speak about the return of Sheriff Chuck Wright? Yeah, Sheriff's Office confirmed Chuck Wright, Spartanburg County Sheriff, legendary Spartanburg County Sheriff, has assumed all sworn duties. Yeah, just as they were planning to begin discussing Sheriff Chuck Wright's compensation. more than a month and a half into his leave of absence. Yes, Spartanburg County Council going to discuss his compensation, and now he is back at work. Look, we've got a proud tradition here in South Carolina. If you Google it, it's kind of shocking, of sheriffs going to prison. So, you know, I'd love to predict the odds of a sheriff going to prison in South Carolina. Like, once you get elected, you know, what are your long-term odds of going to prison? Because so many have. So I don't know what to make of this, folks. I mean, when you got the FBI going after the guy, as profoundly corrupt as they are, now I just throw my hands up. I'm like, yes, you got me. You got me. You know, but it's the same FBI that covered up Hunter Biden's crimes deliberately. Silenced the IRS whistleblowers who tried to stop Joe from becoming president, ran the Russia collusion hoax. They like to go after people like very traditional, very religious Catholics. So, I mean, I could also see how someone like Chuck Wright would attract, being a very conservative, outspoken Christian sheriff, would attract the FBI. The attention of the FBI. And he's exactly the kind of person they'd want to take down. Or maybe he did some bad stuff. I don't know. I throw my hands in the air. Anyway, he's back in office, running around, and we'll see how that goes.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.